Beloved, a healthy Christian life lived in the presence of God and surrounded by the experiential presence of God. That's where Paul comes from in this letter. When Paul speaks about to the Philippians, every time he says, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice. This whole letter is filled with a sense of calling the people to rejoice in God through Jesus Christ who saved them. Every step of the way, he says, it's a step of rejoicing. But where is Paul? Is Paul sitting in a palace somewhere, surrounded by servants who give him all kinds of delicious food, and he says, well, I'm just happy here. No, he's in a prison. He is locked up, and he tells the people to rejoice. And why does he tell those people? Are they sitting in palaces? Not at all. They are also being persecuted. And they look at Paul and he said, this man must be in misery. But what do they hear? They hear these light beams shining out of prison, calling them to rejoice in God. And then he says, the verse before our text, it says this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And then this. The Lord is at hand. Or, the Lord is near. And that's what we'll look at this morning. So, Paul, even though he knows that the Holy Spirit is with the Christians in the Philippians, he knows how God is near to them, but at the same time, as a wise physician of the soul, he knows that cares can creep into the minds. And it can come to us as well. The cares of this world, the worries of this world, can come in and steal that joy that we have through Jesus Christ. So as a wise physician, he is trying to come to them and he's showing them how to take away those cares. So this morning, it's really a message about the Christian life and maintaining in a close relationship with God. So in our text, we find three things. And we'll go through these points. First, there's the commandment that comes through us in two parts. Negative, don't do this. And a positive, but do this. Second, there's a promise. The promise is this, the peace of God which passes all understanding will come to you. And thirdly, there's the necessity of the promise. To guard your hearts and minds. So my hope and my prayer is that, as we said in Sunday school this morning, that you would open your heart. Because this is not just a message of, well, this is a good advice. This is necessary for your Christian walk with God. And as the amazing thing that comes up in our text, this is not some hard work that we have to do. This is pure obedience. But it goes against what we would normally do. So let's start at the very beginning. Let me read the text. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Bible, which you'll be familiar with, has three kinds of commandments. Three kinds of blessings, really. The first blessing comes to everyone. Whether you went to church this morning or not, the sun came up. The rain comes down. Food and drink, oxygen come to everyone. Those blessings are to everyone. The second kinds of blessings come to all Christians. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ receives the righteousness of Christ. They receive forgiveness. They receive that heavenly abode to which we're all going to. And then thirdly, there are blessings that come to direct obedience in the Christian life. So there is a difference between blessings that come to Christians, to those who obey, and who don't obey. And that's what it comes to us this morning. So what is this commandment that comes to us? Be careful for nothing. Do not fill your mind. Do not allow your mind to be filled, really, with anxious desire, with anxious thoughts, with anxiety. Have you ever received a sweeter commandment than that? When your Heavenly Father tells you, commands you, do not be anxious. Be careful for nothing. That's the commandment that comes to us this morning. Think about this. A farmer may say, well, the weather has been so bad this season. My crops may fail. Be careful for nothing. A wife may say, but I live with this difficult husband, and I don't see how everything is going to fall together. Be careful for nothing. A father may say, well, my children, they grow up in this world, and there's teachings that go against the Scripture, and there's attacks on every side. Be careful for nothing. We may look at the news and the developments in the world, and we realize, and we become afraid, because we might well be persecuted. If we speak the Word of God, it is very likely that in a few years, if I would preach on certain topics from this pulpit, I would be picked up and brought to jail. And yet, the Word of God says, be careful for nothing. Paul lived at a time where people were being arrested. And Paul tells the Philippians, I'm in jail, be careful for nothing. This is an all-inclusive commandment. Not be careful for all personal matters. Not be careful for all spiritual matters. Not be careful for all family matters. Be careful for nothing. Nothing is a beautiful word, isn't it, in this case? Everything that can happen in your life, every worry, every anxiety can come to you. Do not be careful. Do not be anxious for it. And then the invitation follows. This is the positive side of it. The other one is positive too, but that's the English language and it's confusing to me. But you call something negative when it's not, and when it's positive, you say yes. So here it comes. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication really means like an earnest asking from a humble mind. Please. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Read these words carefully. If you just look at your text in your Bible, and I want you to see that it's really here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, that's in every situation, in every season of life, every hardship, by prayer and supplication, bring them to God. Do you see the hands of God open-armed and saying, whatever care comes to you, bring it to me. You say, God is not a small God that can only handle matters that are spiritual or something out there. He is not a God who is distant from us, that is only able to do something from a distance or vaguely answer our prayers. Paul says, you must bring all your cares before God because God wants them. So what is he saying? Those cares that you carry in your head, that you carry in your heart, give them away. This is not a giving back and forth or just a sharing. He says, bring them, but in everything in prayer and supplication. These words, God desires us to come to him. Do you remember the prodigal son when he came back? Where was his father waiting? Was he just kind of sitting going on with life and his son needed to find him? No, not at all. His father was standing at the door waiting for his son to return home. This is the same eagerness that we see in this text, isn't it? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I want to ask you, is your relationship with God this real? You live in such a closeness to God because that's what God wants from us. He wants to live in such a real relationship with God that whenever a care comes to us, we know what to do with those cares. We bring them to God. But let's not forget this. With thanksgiving, that's hard, isn't it? When life's difficulties come to you, how do you stay thankful to God? But I think really what here, it's not a commandment as in, be praying for these things, do not care about these things, but come to me and you should be thankful. Put a smile on your face. Not at all. This is a Father who is known to be freely giving what is needed in every situation of life. And I want you to apply this right now in your mind at the cares and worries that you have right now in your mind. The things that are concerns to you, whatever they may be, to realize that God says, give them to me. Give your cares to me. Pray to me. Give them to me with thanksgiving, with appreciation. Because I am a Father who gives, who fulfills that. Oh, beloved, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Have you seen it? Do you remember the moment when you passed from death unto life? Do you remember when you were in your sin, dead in your sin, and somebody told you about your sin, and suddenly there's this mountain in front of you that you cannot go through or over or go besides. And there's this mountain of sin that pushes you into the darkness. And then suddenly the light of Christ came through and He saved you. Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? That same God tells us, commands us this morning to give our blessings, to give our cares for Him in prayer and supplication. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now here's a problem with us. We've all heard this. So far I told you nothing new, I hope. We know that we can bring our cares to God. We know that in prayer we can bring them all to God. But what do? We pray. Sometimes people pray when they're really at their wit's end. They don't know what to do, but in the end they'll pray. And what happens? Well, I brought them to God and now still I got to kind of worry about them. Isn't that true? But that's not what God says. God says, bring your cares to Him. This is a one-way street. You go to the Lord and you give your cares to Him and you leave it there. You don't bring them back. If you have faith in God, you do. You give them to Him. That's challenging. Because after you raise up from your knees of prayer, not everything is solved, is it? I've been praying for my own father for many years. My father, to this moment, is not saved yet. But I've brought my care to Him. Does it mean I don't pray for him anymore? No. That care, that burden, I leave with the Lord. I'm not going to doubt God's character on this. My cares are with Him. I prayed for my brother before. I prayed for my sister before. The Lord saved them. But still, my father is not saved. And I can have worries and cares. And I, naturally speaking, I do. But you leave them with your Father, who's able to bear them and yet live. You're not. You cannot leave every care in your heart and still be able to live. And we'll see that what's coming after this. Because here comes the promise. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will be with you. I think it's a pretty bold move to come here and preach to you about something that we cannot understand. I'm going to try to explain something to you that passeth, that's the idea, that goes beyond our understanding. Do you see that in the text? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now, think about this. If the commandment of God is so sweet and so full of promise, how much greater is the blessing? How much greater is the promise? I want you to rejoice. If we really understand this text, brothers and sisters, we would jump up in our chair, or whatever personality you have, you may fall down on your face and just say, thank you, God, for the promise that is in here. Now first, what is the peace of God? What would be your definition of the peace of God? First of all, let's say what it's not. It's not the absence of war or trouble. Okay? First of all, it's God's peace. It's the divine peace. So, a war from an absence from war is a blessing from God, but that's not called God's peace in the Bible. Secondly, it passes all understanding. But we can understand an absence from war or an absence from trouble. Right? Thirdly, it says that it guards our hearts and minds. Now, an absence from something is not a guard to our heart and mind. So it's not just the absence of war. It includes this. But it's not just the absence from war or trouble. Secondly, Paul doesn't speak about reconciliation. That's a difficult word that talks about how God and us have been placed together in a good relationship through Jesus Christ. The peace of God doesn't talk about the forgiveness of sin, because all over Paul's letter he's saying, I see you believers. You're children of God. You have already been saved. So then what is this peace speaking about? The peace of God, when you look in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is beautiful, you look at the Old Testament, every time the peace of God is promised, what happens? Think about that. What happens? Is it just end of the war? No. Every time the peace of God comes in the Old Testament, dry deserts would be transformed into fruitful lands. Broken cities would be restored. Shame would be turned into honor. Sorrow into joy, despair into comfort. Do you see that? Everywhere in the Old Testament, when God says, I will give my peace to you, automatically, God's doing it, but almost automatically, there's a restoration of the land. There is the blessing of God. In a way, you can say, it's always followed by an abundant welfare from God. Now, before you think I'm going to preach that if you pray, you're going to be rich, have a big house, and a yacht in the nearest ocean, that's not what I'm going to say. Okay, so bear with me. All these things were included in the peace of God in the Old Testament, because it brought God's presence. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that the blessing of God always brings these material blessings, fruitfulness of the land, of the people, honor, blessings, those things. In the New Testament, there's something far greater that is promised to us. Jesus says this: when the Spirit comes, you will have rivers of living waters flowing in the midst of you. Rivers of living water. Before, you had outside blessings. Now the Spirit comes within us, and there's rivers of living water flowing out of us. This is far greater. You could have all the riches of Israel, but be like Nabal, who had a cold, dead heart. Right? You could have all the honor and power of a king like Saul, but still you would need David to play on the harp for you, because you're inside, you're broken, and you're depressed. But when the blessings of God's peace come upon you, you will be filled with joy and delight, with rest and peace, with boldness and strength. Psalm 4 says, there are many that say, who will show us any good? What's the response? Lord, lift up thy countenance upon us. Who will show us something good? And the psalmist say, God, I want to see you. I want to know you, because you are good. Thou hast put more gladness in my heart, more than they have when their wine and grain abound. That's the promise. You see that? Here's two people. Let's say they live next to each other. One farm is doing marvelous. They have wine and grain, they have parties, everybody is there. And they're happy. And here is the farmer next door. And he's doing okay, but not like that farmer. But then you see them and you zoom in on their faces. This one has a smile on his face, but it's still there's a lot of things going on in his life. This man, who is the poorer of the two, has a light in his eyes that surpasses anybody else in the neighborhood. Why? Because God has put a joy in his heart that is unspeakable. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. That is what the peace of God does. It doesn't necessarily change your situation. God does that. And He wants us to ask for it, and He wants us to ask that He does change those situations. But the first thing that happens, there is a river of joy flowing in your heart if you really bring your cares to God in prayer and supplication. Think about this. If you've read any church history, you must have come across the martyrs in some way. What happened when they were on the cross? Or when they were burned? Or they were thrown in front of the lions? They were singing praises to God. And we look at that and we say, how is that possible? How can you be singing praises to God when God allows you to be burned? Here's the secret. They brought their cares to God. They cared no longer. And what happened is the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding was guarding their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Do you know that? This is not just theory. This is an experience. This is actual obedience and actual blessings from God. This is a life lived in the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Just 3 weeks ago, I was worried. We just moved from Louisville to Grand Rapids and all things were going on. We had neighbors who really liked music all through the night and all kinds of things. And it was difficult for my family to set in, finances, you name it, all those things. They all just came together. And I was worried. I brought it with me and my heart was heavy. And for a few days I tried to solve it myself. Right, man? That's what we're supposed to do, right? Fix your own problems. And I don't think you shouldn't fix your problems, but what I did is I was trying to fix my problems and carry the burden of it. And one day, I was thinking, I was reading this text, and I realized that I'm being disobedient. Not in my actions, but in keeping this burden on my heart. So I went down to my knees in my little place in the library there in Grand Rapids, and I said, Lord, I've been disobedient. I bring it to you. Would you help me with this? I can't carry this. I bring my care to you. And it will never forget what happened. In one moment, the care was gone. And a joy and a life and a light flood in my heart. Suddenly, I remembered that God is my God. I'm this little tiny figurine in the middle of this little tiny earth where a God that can hold the universe like this. And I didn't bring my cares to Him who... I can't even figure where I am. Like I'm somewhere in here. You can see me. I brought him to God and immediately I realized God cares for me. And just to know that God cares for you made me so bold. It's like my mind, you know that when stress and trouble come upon you and suddenly your mind opens up and everything becomes a little lighter. And you start to realize, okay, there's things here, but it's nothing where God has taken me out. He has taken me out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of light. God is going to take care of it. And now He has taken care of all those things in 3 weeks' time. But at that moment, my joy was full in Christ. That's what we're talking about. It's simple, isn't it? But it's profound. Finally, in the third part of our text, the great benefit of the promise. Now, when I said the great benefit, I also mean the necessity. Because you can sit here and think, well, okay, I know you can bring those cares, but I make option two. I keep my cares. I'm a man, I can hold my back straight, or you're a woman, you can hold your back straight. And you can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take care of this myself. I can carry this load. But it's not just a blessing in the positive. It's also a blessing that you need for your spiritual life. Because what does it say? Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ," through Christ Jesus. In other words, there is a guard that comes to you when you bring them to God. Do you realize that? In other words, if you keep your cares, your heart is wide open for Satan. You see that? If there is a guard that comes when you bring it to God, in other words, if you don't have that guard, you are opening the doors for every influence to come to you. That's the reality. Do you remember the parable of Jesus, of the sower? What happens to the third seed? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes them. Isn't that true? Well, why didn't that happen to the third? To the fourth seed, the good seed? I think this is one of the reasons. Because he walks in the obedience with God. His heart had been cleared, had been cleansed. He had a relationship with Christ that brought his cares to God. He didn't try to keep it himself. He is one whose heart is a heart that every time gives it to Christ. That brings their cares to God. So you see, it's not being a tough man that keeps your back straight by just keeping your own cares. It's a fool that keeps his cares. It's a wise man that brings their cares to God. Cares come to us as a disguised form of a lack of faith. Do you realize that? Cares come to you as a disguised form, as a lack of faith. They come into our hearts as though they're our friends. Right? Of course we care. We're just sitting here together. It's a situation and me and I got to take care of it. It's like our friend. But it's really, this friend has got some sharp teeth, brothers and sisters. Because it's ready to devour you. Even though it shows itself as a wolf in sheep's clothing. If you don't bring your cares to God, you will be drowned. If you keep your cares, you will slowly grow cold. Do you realize that? If you keep your cares, there's no guard to your heart. Now what will happen if there's no guard to your heart? What is Satan trying to do? He's going to try to distance you from Christ. I'm not saying you'll be lost. But what I'm saying is he will distance you, that personal relationship with God, and you'll start to stumble on everything around you. Think about this. If you're really worried about your finances, right? Can you worship in church? Can you pray if you keep them for yourself? If you're worried about family members, what does it do? It chokes you. Why? Because the guard is gone. And what's the next step that happens? What do you see when people come in real big troubles and I don't give them to God? They start to doubt God. And that's where the guard is gone. Well, God must not be loving, because why could this happen? That's where God needs to guard us against those things. You see, this is a beautiful passage, but it's also absolutely practical. Because we see this all the time, don't we? How many times do people sing praises to God, and when something goes wrong, how can God do this to me? Is he even there? And the next things that happens is we start to talk with people. Oh, I don't know if God is really here. How could this have happened if God is really alive and well? What if that same person from the beginning would have brought those cares to God? This is the promise of God. God would come to that person. And his presence and his blessing would be upon that person. And the joy of God would be in their heart. And God would guard the heart, which is really the feelings and the desires, the warmness towards God. And he would keep the mind, the thoughts, what you know, where you live from. God would guard those And he'll be able to be that other person which we have also seen, I hope, that in the midst of all of life seems to crumble, he says, and yet I know that my Redeemer lives. Do you see the difference? And this can start with bringing small cares. Because once Satan has managed to have you have one care in your heart, he's going to try to sneak in a second one, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, until your heart is filled. It's like a battlefield of cares. So, be not deceived, beloved. Cares are not your friends. I think especially for women living together, living with my wife for 7 years and having had a mother since I was young, cares are especially weapons of Satan that he uses on women. When you don't want to speak about it with other people and you start saying, well, I'm caring for my children and I have all these worries and this is just, it's just me being a mother. It's just me being a wife. No. Even to you, especially to you, God says, bring your cares to me. Because what happens if you start to keep them, it's not just you that's being under attack. It's your whole family, everybody around you, even the children that you love so much. They're also being attacked. Because once your faith starts to crumble, you start to spread all these doubts to other people. So what do you have to do? Follow the text. Do not be careful of anything, but bring your cares to the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, let us come to our conclusion. How shall we apply these things to our lives? Well, I know there's always at least two kinds of people that could be in this church and anywhere. People who know Him and who don't. So first, people who know Him. Let me tell you, this is the application for you. So be ready. This is going to be a stunner. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's your application. And the promise. But there are those, and there may be here this morning, that do not know of this peace at all, who have never had the joy of the Lord in their hearts. And you could have been in church. I've been in church for a long time. I was saved on the mission field. I was not a full-time missionary, but I was for 2 months, I moved to Cambodia. I was saved. I thought I was a Christian. When I read the letters of Paul, and he's saying, beloved, and brothers and sisters, my joy, and I always think, this man is just some character. He's just trying to write poetically. No, he doesn't. There is a reality of his love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That is a reality. Now, there may be someone here, or more, that have never experienced the peace of God. That all Christianity is just talk. Just a religion, just a thing people do, but there's no real connection with God and you. You never come in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking theoretical, I'm talking actual. Romans 8 says this, the witness bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so, our hearts cry out, Abba, Father. You see that? It's not, well, then we say with our minds, so logically it must be that you're our Abba Father. No. There's a reality. There's a personal relationship with God. So if you have never experienced this peace of God in your heart, you may say, well, this passage is not for me because it's for believers. No. Especially for you. You have the greatest cares of all the world. Your soul is your own care. It should be the greatest care of the world. This is life and death. Without Christ, It is horrible. A man once said, if one person in all the world, if we would know that one person in the whole world would be going to hell, it would be logical if the rest of the world would be weeping and moaning to have that person saved. That's the reality. But if you're in that situation, if you're in that dreadful situation, what a promise. Because God doesn't just accept people who are nice and neat. He accepts sinners. Whatever you've done in the darkness, whatever nobody here knows, God knows it. And God can wash it away. You tell me, well, you don't know what I did. Well, I do. You sinned against God. And God said, I came for sinners. Jesus says, I'm a doctor. I didn't come to bring the righteous. I didn't come for the righteous. I came for sinners. If you are a sinner, Christ came for you. So, then, what do? Bring your cares to God. What does that mean? Repentance. Isn't that true? Say, Lord, I have lived this life, and I don't want it. I don't want to be this man who walks in the darkness. I don't want to be this woman that sits and does things that nobody can see. I don't want to be this person. And this is a great care upon my heart. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, if this is true, that you really did send your Son Jesus Christ to wash my sin, to shed his blood, and to die for me, then wash me. Make me clean. Give me the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I study theology, and I study all kinds of arguments. This is the greatest argument of all. God living within me. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. My mind cannot comprehend what God has done to me, but it's real. And if you desire that, then cry out to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how wonderful is your word. How it delights our soul. Father, you fed us this morning. And we know that we can take this word and go home and carry our cares with us. But Lord, we pray that you will give us the power of your Spirit and wisdom and insight and knowledge of you. Father, you are near. And we bring our cares to you. Father, especially if there are those who do not know you. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God, your very own Spirit, would now work in the heart. I would give true salvation. The joy of the Lord. Father, we bring this to you. Knowing and believing that you are God. And there is no other. In Jesus' name. Amen.